Do while I'm on this planet is honor those I love through celebrations.
I'm Lynn Neary. Join me for Tinsel Tales 2, stories that bring the holiday season into focus in a Christmas program from NPR.
Wednesday morning at 10 on AM 580.
One day I'll make a difference and do the world some good. Leave my mark with what I've done as an inspiration would.
Greetings, I'm Madafo. Join me for a salute to our children and a celebration of Kwanzaa on A Season's Griot from PRI, Public Radio International.
Thursday morning at 10 on AM 580.
It's Festivo Alt Latino from NPR Music. I'm Felix Contreras.
And I'm Jasmine Garst.
This time of the year, there's holiday music everywhere. And while we love traditional songs, it would be fun to hear something different.
It's our holiday gift to you, a concert with legendary Latin alternative bands Bajo Fondo, Molotov, and Café Tacuba.
It's Festivo Alt Latino.
Sunday afternoon at 1 on AM 580.
Begin NPR's business news with some empty Christmas stockings. All right, if your stocking was empty this morning, don't blame the Grinch. UPS acknowledged yesterday that some gifts guaranteed for Christmas Eve delivery did not reach their destinations. Spokeswoman Natalie Godwin said the volume of air packages in the system exceeded the capacity of the world's largest parcel delivery service. She would not say how many packages are stuck in transit somewhere, but apologized for the delays and estimated that most would be delivered by tomorrow because the men and women in brown have the holiday itself off. Now, American Express has agreed to a settlement that's worth more than $75 million. This deals with claims that the company misled customers about some of its, quote, add-on products. NPR's Sam Sanders explains.
Banks and finance companies sell safety, security.
But are you too comfortable? These days, crime can happen in a few keystrokes. American Express can help protect you.
But the federal government says American Express went too far selling some of its so-called add-on services. One was supposed to cancel a portion of a cardholder's balance if they face hardship like unemployment or disability. The government says the program actually covered just $500, much less than users were led to believe. Another American Express add-on that came under scrutiny? Identity Protection Services. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau says Amex charged customers for credit monitoring before actually monitoring their credit. They also didn't tell customers that they could receive a free credit report. Almost $60 million of the $75 million the company is paying will go to American Express customers, some 335,000 of them. The rest of the money is a fine that goes to the government. American Express says it's working to fix the problem, and they're issuing refunds or checks to customers affected. Capital One, Discover, and JP Morgan Chase have also settled similar allegations regarding add-ons. Last year, American Express had to reimburse customers $85 million over illegal late fees and other bad practices. Sam Sanders, NPR News.
The economist Nariman Berevesh puts out an economic forecast every year, and he's predicting the U.S. economy will do better in 2014, which will help both the unemployed and also the long-term unemployed. He spoke to my colleague Steve Inskeep.
The U.S. unemployment rate has gone down to 7% in the year that's just ending. Where's it heading next?
Well, by the end of 2014, it'll probably be down in the low sixes, so we will continue to make headway on the unemployment picture. Part of the problem, though, as you know, is that the labor force participation rate is very low. There's still a lot of discouraged workers. So that low and falling unemployment rate gives a bit of a false picture of the labor markets.
Now, the number of people who are long-term unemployed, unemployed more than 6 months, has been going down, but there are still millions of people who are in that category, and we're nearing the end of a year in which the United States government is going to cease paying unemployment benefits beyond 26 weeks, which it has for the past several years. How many people is that going to affect in the year ahead?
Well, right now we're looking at about 4 million people who are classified as long-term unemployed. That's people who are unemployed more than 27 weeks. It has, as you say, been coming down, and it'll probably keep coming down, but you're still looking at 4 million people who are going to lose some benefits, and that's painful. It'll hurt the economy in the sense that they won't have the money to spend. But the good news is the roles of the long-term unemployed, as you said, have come down, and we think will continue to come down. In about 2 or 3 years, we'll probably be close to where we were, again, before the recession started in 2008.
Can I ask about one thing, though? Because one of your forecasts says there will be more upside risk than downside risk for the global economy. What on earth is upside risk?
Upside risk is when we are surprised on the upside in terms of revisions to the growth numbers. I mean, for example, U.S. GDP numbers for the third quarter of 2013 keep getting revised upward.
Things were better than everyone expected.
Exactly. So that's really what we're referring to here, is that as we go through 2014, the revisions to numbers that are released will probably continue to go up, and we will be surprised even when new numbers come out as to how strong they are. This is particularly true for the U.S., to a lesser extent, I would say, in places like Germany and the U.K., but it's certainly going to be a theme we'll see throughout 2014.
Is there some hope that at the end of this year, people might actually be talking about a strong economy rather than a struggling one?
I think that the answer is yes, there will be more hope, there will be more optimism about the economy. And in particular, consumers and businesses, I think, will be more willing to spend, which will, again, help to create more jobs and a better mood in terms of the economy. So for the first time, we think in 3 years or so, a lot of the headwinds, you can call them that, facing the U.S. and other parts of the globe, and here we're talking about tightening of fiscal policy, fiscal austerity, as it's been called, or private sector deleveraging, the need for consumers to cut back on their debt. Those pressures are easing as consumers feel a little bit better about their financial situation, and businesses will become more optimistic. So I suspect the level of optimism, whether it's measured by consumer confidence or business confidence, will improve as the year progresses.
Nariman Berevesh, always a pleasure to talk with you.
Thank you, Steve.
Nariman Berevesh is chief economist at IHS Global Insight, a global economic research firm. And that brings us to today's last word in business, cold, hard cash. That's what a passenger left behind in a Las Vegas taxicab. The driver first thought the brown bag sitting on the back seat contained chocolate, but as it turned out, it was filled with something a lot sweeter, six thick bundles of $100 bills, in total $300,000. The driver handed the bag in to his office, the responsible thing to do. The office tracked down the amazingly absent-minded passenger, not surprisingly a well-known poker player. There was no immediate word on whether this unnamed high roller gave the cabbie an extra Christmas tip or not. That's the business news on Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm David Green.
Support for NPR comes from NPR member stations and from the Lemelson Foundation, supporting inventors and invention to improve lives in the U.S. and developing countries. On the web at lemelson.org. From the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, recognizing exceptionally creative individuals. This year's MacArthur Fellows are at macfound.org. From the Melville Charitable Trust, supporting solutions to prevent and end homelessness. On the web at melvilletrust.org. And from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. This is NPR.
Support for NPR comes from the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation, committed to building a more just, verdant, and peaceful world. More information at macfound.org.
Marley was dead to begin with. There is no doubt whatever about that. Old Marley was as dead as a doornail.
So begins A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens. Some say that this short story, first published in 1843, saved Christmas for all time. Before it, there was surprisingly little that was special about the Christmas season. After it, Christmas became a high point of the year. It's inspired movies, operas, countless stage performances, and readings galore. I'm Susan Stamberg. Welcome to this special presentation of A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens.